This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Hey, we're going to talk with our man Marty Smith. He happened to be on the field for G-Day. Pretty cool experience. Marty from ESPN. But as always, man, We Talk Dogs is brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBox Electrical. Whether you want to put a man cave together or just think about more home security, home monitoring, call the pros, man, 770-901-2500 today.
All right, quick news note. The Falcons have signed free agent safety J.J. Wilcox to a one-year deal. He played for the Colts and the Jets last year. Depth. You talked about this earlier in the show, the need being safety. Again, I get back to all of this stuff. None of these moves will affect their draft status and how they approach it.
But, and we will talk more about it coming up in an hour with the Falcon Report. D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC did mention that safety might be something on the shopping list. So I don't know if that comes in the first or the second round. That would be a hell of a surprise. But technically, we are thin at the safety position.
All right, Falcons, one-year deal with J.J. Wilcox. Again, he played for the Colts and the Jets. Hey, we happen to be out there at G-Day. And for all the fans that came out and had a chance to visit with us while we were at Grindhouse Killer Burgers, thanks to Johnny and the crew for taking care of us out there. It was a terrific time on Saturday, and they always do a great job. And it was a lot of fun. The weather was not the best, but you know what? In the fall, you don't get to pick the weather conditions when you roll out there, and so you just have to deal with it. And I thought overall, Mike, as we talk about the game itself, there were a few things that did stand out.
Yeah, and obviously Jake doesn't want to start the game with a pick like that, and it goes for a pick six. And remember, it's difficult to judge pass rush, which I think is a big concern for dog fans because it was an area that was lacking last year. And the pass rush is going to have to step it up this year because you got such a young secondary with guys moving on to the NFL. But I thought that, you know, you always see them throw the ball a little bit more. Kirby likes to put it in the air in G-Day, and you got to see some of that. And I think you saw in Dwan Mathis a reason to be really excited. Big-time athlete.
Yeah, he really is. Hey, joining us right now is our man, Marty Smith. You guys watch him on ESPN. Mike and I really enjoy his features. He does a great job of bringing you different angles of college football. And, dude, you got a chance to be on the field doing that referee thing. It was pretty cool, huh?
A chance to be, yes. that's well said. I learned a lot, man. First of all, I hope you guys are great and had an awesome Easter. I'm going to have to do it. I declined a couple times because it just gave me so much anxiety, the very thought of it. I knew that, I mean, I thought I had football. I've been around the game a long time, and I get the opportunity to spend time with these coaches and players in settings where I learn so much. But when I went through that ref school, I realized I don't know a whole lot about the game of football. And everything that they have to manage so quickly and process so quickly is really remarkable. And so I was the center judge, and for those of you listening who may not know that positioning, you're sort of catty corner behind the left tackle on the offensive side of the ball, 10 or 12 yards back. And you're keying on the left tackle, and you're watching to make sure he does his job well and does his job without cheating. And then you sort of, once you realize that he's doing that well and that he isn't doing anything illegal, then you open up your field of vision and watch the backfield a little bit to make sure the quarterback doesn't get lit up illegally or any shenanigans occur back there. And like, I never even considered it, guys. I never even really considered all the teamwork and whatnot that goes on with the officiating crews. I have an all new respect for them. And the biggest anxiety that I had heading into it was, man, I really hope I don't have anything to do with positioning the football. Lo and behold, the center judge spots the dang football. So it wound up going okay, but there was a lot of funny moments out there. As you guys know, the team, the red and black teams, were playing against one another in the game for a steak dinner versus beanie weenies. And I was struggling to spot the ball at one point, figure out where the hell I was going. And one of the offensive linemen goes, "Party, party, come on, man, spot that ball. You're going to be eating beanie weenies with us."
It was
quite an education, fellas, I'll tell you that.
And that's the thing, is Marty Smith joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Marty, if you don't know, I know you watch ESPN, so you see him, does great jobs with those features. Marty Smith's America, made his bones in NASCAR, and now does all sorts of cool interviews and stuff. Yeah, man, I saw Andy Staples already blogged in SI saying how hard it was. You actually were huffing and puffing because, as you said, you got to get the ball down and get back and then blow the whistle and be ready to roll.
Yeah, I was actually yelling at Andy one time because I swear he wasn't on the right spot. And so I'm yelling at him, and lo and behold, all of us are mic'd up, by the way. At least I was, Dusty Dvorak was, and Molly McGrath. Oh, yeah, and Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge both were as well. Basically, any of us that are on ESPN, ABC broadcasts were mic'd up. And so I'm hollering at Andy. I'm like, "Man, come on, you're making me look stupid. Let's go." And it was just quite an experience, and it was another funny moment. You know what I should do? I should probably write all this down as well. But at the beginning of the second half, I was standing there with the football, getting ready to hand it to the kicker or whatever, and Jake Fromm walks over, and he's like, "Man, you are really not very good at this."
I said,
"Brother, I know. I'm sorry. I'm just learning." I said, "Thank goodness it's not my chosen passion, because I really do stink at refereeing football games." And I had a lot of apprehension going in, and I will say, Shaw and his whole group with the SEC and the way that they prepare officials, and the fact that they even gave us the opportunity. We got there on Friday, and I drove down from Charlotte, where I live, and I mean, it was like a hurricane trying to get to Athens. And so it took what is usually about a 3.5-hour drive, took me 5.
Mm.
And so I show up late to this ref school, and we went till almost 10 o'clock that night.
Whoa.
And we're really learning the intricacies of each position. We did a big group meeting, and then we broke out into individual meetings. We had real crew guys, real officials with us, mentoring us, who had worked the biggest games in the conference over the past 10, 12, 15 years. So they're the best of the best. And I kept saying to everybody, "Y'all don't understand how much apprehension I have in this." And then we got right back after Saturday morning, man. We had breakfast at like 8, and we were right back in school all the way until we got dressed to go to the stadium and start this deal. And let me tell you the worst part. I forgot this part. This is funny. It's the, like, fourth play of the football game. I'm not even in the first drive of the game. They let the professionals ref the game so that we could just shadow them one quick time and really get our bearings on positioning, mm-hmm, and what our visuals should be. There's a pick six on the third or fourth play of the game. And so when that happens, the center judge, it's the center judge's responsibility to call the touchdown, to get to the goal line and ensure that player X crosses the goal line or not. So I am sprinting back to the goal line, and the guy scores, and I'm seeing my mentor, the real center judge, give the touchdown signal.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Shaw, the official, is giving – the referee is giving the touchdown signal, and I'm like, "All right, well, that was interesting." Asking Steve, my guy, they're both named Steve, "What you got, man? What you got?" And Steve's like, "What do you mean, touchdown?" He said, "Well, what's the penalty flag for?" Fellas, my flag fell out of my pocket.
Oops. Oops.
I'm like, I haven't even, like, hardly put on the uniform, and I've already screwed it up.
Know your gear, man. Secure your gear. That's funny, man.
Yeah, like, golly, what a loser.
It is Marty Smith joining us here on Dukes and Bell. What's your relationship with Kirby, man? I know you get a chance to hang out with these coaches on a different level and get to know them a little bit more than most. He did mention you a couple of times on the broadcast. What's your relationship with Kirby Smart?
It goes back to Bama and, you know, his time there. And, of course, he was a Knicks defensive coordinator for so long and obviously the best in the business. And so it goes back there. But we had a lot of fun picking on each other, and especially on Saturday. I admire him so much, and I'm so impressed. I had really high expectations for him when he went to Georgia, but he's exceeded them already. And I hate to, you know, in my real job, I'm going to have to ask again when we get to the SEC media days about how do you use this now as a lesson with what happened in the national championship game 2 years ago, and then you come back to what happened in the SEC championship game this time around. Those are gutting losses.
Right.
And in your market, the folks that are listening, forgive me for reminding you, because I know that for Georgia Bulldog fans, those are gutting losses. But I also know this. Dog fans are thrilled to be this relevant. They're thrilled that they are always in the conversation, not just among the conference elite, but among the national elite. And the way that Kirby is recruiting, the tireless effort that he's put in to recruiting and getting these unbelievable players. I'm telling you guys, I was so impressed with what I saw Saturday. And again, I didn't really look at the game on Saturday from an analytical or reporting point of view. I was really focused on that left tackle's butt. But they got some dudes. And, I mean, they got some real dudes in Athens, Georgia. So I couldn't be more impressed with the man and what he's doing there.
It's
only getting started.
Right, and that's the thing. Just a matter of beating Alabama. That's the only thing keeping him from having that championship. Marty Smith's with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Marty, love the Marty Smith America's podcast. Always great guests. Cool stuff features you do on TV. Remember last year you went to Grand Canyon with Scott Frost, who's now, you know, obviously trying to get it cooking at Nebraska. You've interviewed some really cool people. What's the most fascinating interview you've done recently?
That's a hard one because I get to do so many interesting ones. Yeah, I was obviously Tiger is top of mind right now because I was in Augusta for 8 days doing coverage for ESPN and also I was so blessed to be asked by Augusta National to host their first ever official podcast this whole past week. And so while I didn't sit one-on-one with Tiger, I was there and I was immersed in that moment. And, in fact, I just finished my first book. It's due out August 6th. And I actually called my publisher on my birthday, which was the Monday after the Masters. I was driving to Universal Studios to take my kids and meet my wife down there in Florida for their spring break. And I called my publisher and I said, do I have time to write an addendum? Not only did I just witness history, I was also in some small way a part of it. And it was one of the most unbelievable moments I've seen. And I'll tell you guys why. I'm going to try to paint this whole picture for you and your listeners. So
okay.
When he was on 16 and almost aced 16, I walked out to 18. I left the media center and I texted my bosses and said, guys, I won't have my phone. I'm going to history. And so I left my phone there, which you do at Augusta, of course, and walked out to 18. And, guys, there were throngs of people. I don't think it's an overstatement to maybe guesstimate 10,000. Mm-hmm. And they were lined all around the 18th green, 10, 12 deep. They were down the first fairway. They were down the 18th fairway. They were down the 9th fairway, all preparing to get the smallest glimpse of this unbelievable moment of redemption. And that's the word I use because that's what it was. We, you know, we're all flawed. All of us make mistakes in life. And it's always one, and that's one reason that we love to see a comeback story as human beings because they're relatable. And as I'm standing there watching Tiger walk up 18 and watching this group of people chant, "Tiger, Tiger," at the top of their lungs, it was so different than a typical day at Augusta National. And the air was reverent. The air was awestruck. The air was aware. All of us had this keen awareness of what I just stated. Not only were we seeing history, we were immersed in it, and we all knew it. And there was this unique air of humility because redemption is beautiful, and we all knew it. And as he walked off the green and hugged Charlie, his son, and we were all whisked back to 1997 when he, barely a man himself, hugged his own father. And that's relatable to all of us. And these two dudes walked over to me, guys. So I don't get real preachy, but I'm a man of faith. Like, I look at most things in my life through that prism. And these two dudes walked over to me, and one of them said to me, as I'm feverishly scribbling these notes, "Marty, we see ourselves in Tiger's victory." Huh. And I found that to be a very interesting comment. I said, "How?" And this is what that guy said to me. I found out later these were Clemson University campus ministers. And he said, we all make big mistakes in life, but we are also all afforded the opportunity of redemption. And I found that to be such a profound statement. Mm. And then to see everything Tiger said to us, the assembled media, after that, about his kids only seeing golf bring their dad pain, and now they've seen joy. About, "I just hope my kids are proud of me." And him hugging those people that stood behind him when he literally couldn't stand himself. Last year he told me, man, he couldn't even lay in the backyard, couldn't even lay on the floor right. And play Legos with Charlie. He couldn't go out in the backyard and kick a soccer ball with Sam. And then he has his back fusion surgery, and not only could he be a present father, somewhere along the way he went, "Oh, man, I can swing a club with you." Guys, I could go on for days. Like, it was just such an unbelievable moment, not only in sport, but, like, in American culture.
Marty,
we're going to tell our grandkids we were there.
Absolutely. We came in Monday, and Marty, we got to run. We want to get you back on, obviously, dude. I know you're doing a lot of different stuff. Congratulations on the book and everything that's going on with you, and we appreciate you jumping on with us coming off the field on G-Day. But we were talking about this on Monday, and when we came in, I said to Mike, "I've never felt this way."
Right.
We were trying to describe how we felt. So we can relate to you totally, and especially with you being there. Marty Smith, guys, ESPN. Appreciate you, bro. As always, coming up, we're going to talk more about the Braves and the Falcons make a move. We'll tell you about it next.
And that will do it. The Atlanta Braves, loud offensively yet again tonight. They take 2 out of 3 in the series.
How about those Braves? Final call last night, thanks to ESPN and that guy that the other talk show host in New York can't pronounce his name, Mike.
That's Matt Vasgersian.
Yeah, that's him. That's how it sounded last night.
As A-Rod said, John Donaldson with a big drive.
Terrible. Come on, bro. You can't know his name. 11-5 final last night. And Max Fried was terrific. 3-0 now with the 1.38 ERA.
Should be 4-0.
Should be, man. By the way, Biddle came in last night. Josh Tomlin, 2 innings. So, you know, here's the deal. If you look at the late game on Saturday and last night's game, bullpen did their job. Shane Carl, Sabatka, Winkler, Jackson, A.J. Minter on Saturday night. And then last night, Biddle and Josh Tomlin, they did their job. This is all we can hope for, okay? But there is still an uneasiness with me, Mike, when it comes to our bullpen. Even though they were successful in these last two games, and today, by the way, an off day for the Braves, they'll take on Cincinnati at Cincinnati on Tuesday.
Yeah, we were talking about Gio Gonzalez back during spring training, wondering what our pitching staff's going to look like. And again, the good news is, for all the struggles that the starters and relief pitchers have had, not named Max Fried, the Braves are still right in the mix. I mean, they're right there with the Phillies. The division, obviously, is still way, way wide open. But the problem will be if divisions continues to play this close all the way up into July, you know, who's going to be more aggressive? And then the Braves going to have to go out and spend some money. Gio Gonzalez and his agent, they worked their way out of that deal with the Yankees. That's why the Yankees had minimal, you know, potential loss there. So that's why it made sense. You want to kick the tires on Gonzalez? I don't know how he'd feel coming out of the bullpen, though. He wants to be a starter. I don't know. I still feel that Folty you know, once he's finally, whenever he's 100%. And Kyle Wright, if they step up, can do the job. But the Gonzalez thing was something we talked about back in February and March.
Yeah, I'm still under the perception we need bullpen help much more than starter help. But, yeah, man, listen, I'm curious to see what we're going to do if we do anything as the season rolls out. And you said it, Mike. The pressure will mount as the season moves along and as we see how this division is playing out. Josh Donaldson hit two home runs, and here's what he had to say.
He probably threw me about 45 sliders in the doubleheader, so after he started me off slider, then slider again, I was like, all right, it's probably going to be a slider buffet again. Since it kind of worked, I was able to, you know, put a good swing on a slider in the first at-bat, and then second at-bat, I was able to get on a heater that was up in the zone.
Slider Buffet. That's a great name for a band, by the way.
It is.
In case you're wondering, and thanks to Dave O'Brien from The Athletic, he puts the numbers out there. The Braves lead the entire MLB in on-base percentage, Carl, at 360. They rank third in batting average at 266. Dansby's cooled off a little bit. Ender's still yet to get rolling, but everybody else is raking. They're 11th in slugging percentage are the Yankees and 5th in OPS. That's pretty good, right, between the Astros and the Yankees.
This is what we talked about when in the offseason, they went and got Donaldson. He's doing everything he's supposed to do right now. This was the extra added pop they needed in the lineup and the reason why they didn't spend the money elsewhere. I know that's been part of the conversation is, all right, well, you spent $23 million on Donaldson. Why don't you go spend money elsewhere? To me, they did the right thing. This wasn't the pitching under the going into spring training and under the perception that, Mike, going into spring training, the starters, we still have to figure out. But the problem was you did nothing to fix your bullpen. And that is where I'm still at, and the reason that I think it may be our Achilles heel. But Donaldson steps into the lineup, guys, and this is what we wanted. We wanted power. We wanted RBIs. This is what the guy's doing.
So Donaldson doing his job. Dansby, as we said, he's at 254 right now. So, you know, Ender did have a hit last night, 1-for-5, though. So, you know, I want to see Ender kind of ramp that up a little bit because it does look a little bit a lot like last year with a slow start. Now, the good news is you got flexibility with Ozzie at the top of the lineup for Snitker, but it was just so great to see them really come alive. We were really kind of dreading, you know, how that doubleheader was going to go down. If I had told you that Tukey was going to get, like, really lit up, that didn't bode well, but the bullpen did respond. So, like I said, it's still a very difficult. It's not fine-tuned. We have no idea what this division is going to do. Everybody's in the mix right now.
Here's more of John Donaldson, A-Rod. Josh talking about the offense.
Our offense did a really nice job putting some bats together. Max did a great job. Two quick outs early on in the first inning, kind of scuffled a little bit. Was able to get out of there with no damage. Then kind of come back, settle in. Really did a great job throwing strikes and then finishing guys off once he got to two strikes.
Now, by the way, Mike and I, we know our players, okay? Mike Conte alluded to the fact that A-Rod was on the national broadcast last night. I'm sorry, Mike. Something in my throat. The broadcast is terrible. That he called Josh John. If you're going to do the games, know the guys, all right? Well, and here's the other thing. Don't you have six producers in your ear?
I was going to say. We have Squid Billy, and they've got a cadre of people that can get in their ear and go, it's Josh. You know, so, yes, you got to work on that. It's not easy on the ears. That's for darn sure.
What do you think of that broadcast, Mike?
I think one-third is doing a fantastic job, Shane. That's a great job. No, I mean, look, there's some really...
Some careers are made, Mike Bell.
You know what the best is? It's like, and I hate to say it, I'm Joe, he's John. We know we got to wait till the bigger games in baseball. So, but Joe Buck and Smoltz, that's the gold standard,
yes,
obviously.
Yeah.
And as much as I, you know, Bob Costas can be smarmy and pretentious, he's pretty good at it too, doing his work on MLB Network. But those are the guys, and we do. And by the way, I think Tom Glavine's doing a nice job. We talk so much about Frenchie. I think Tom Glavine's been really entertaining this year on the Fox Sports Southeast broadcast as well.
I would agree with that. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Follow us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Coming up in 30 minutes, Falcon Report.
Oh, we made it. We made a move today. We signed a safety.
Yeah, and guys are hitting me up and going, now you really think they're going to move. I've said this all along. I do think there's going to be lots of movement. And when you talk about the Falcons, I do think there's a real chance. Here's the thing, though. The guy that they're targeting, I think, is going to be gone. And therefore, you're more enticed to stay exactly where you are rather than try to move down and go make something happen. But this draft, guys, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be bananas. This draft is going to be crazy because even if Kyler Murray goes one, like we project that he is, there's still so many things that could happen early on that could affect our draft at 14 that it's like must-see TV.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The quarterbacks, who really, really needs that quarterback? Are we going to see teams like do the Giants think they can trade down and still get their quarterback? Are the Jets really looking to trade out of three? If the Falcons are, like, obsessed with a guy like Ed Oliver, although to me it's going to make you susceptible to the run game up the middle. You have two undersized defensive tackles. The other thing, Carl, is everybody now is kind of pushing that defensive back pick. Now we're going to go corner, and whether you think it's DeAndre Baker, you could arguably trade down maybe and get DeAndre. Greedy Williams is high on the charts. We've always loved guys from LSU on this team under Dan Quinn. Interesting. I mean, to me, I still say you got to go defensive tackle. Get the pass rush, get the heat, make the guys on the edges better, and then that'll help your young secondary. You can always find a corner in the second round, unless you feel the corner market, Carl, is so top heavy. You got to do it first round.
Coming up at 5, a surprise for you and who the Falcons are interested in.
You got this? I mean, is this inside information? Is this your gut? Am I have to wait? I don't want to wait. I want to know.
At 5, you'll find out who the Falcons are interested in.
At 5:20, by the way, less than an hour, Daniel Jeremiah joined us early. That's part of our big story as we're just, 3 days now away from the draft, and get his take on all the questions about all those things we've just been talking about.
All right, big shout out to Coach Lloyd Pierce. Coach Pierce has joined Greg Popovich, Coach Pop, and the USA national team staff. Steve Kerr and Jay Wright are also assistant coaches on Team USA. It's a great honor for our guy to be selected to this. And so, you know, we've said this all along. Lloyd Pierce, and I think a lot of folks are sleeping on him, and that's fine. He's done an amazing job already, and we've seen the culture change, and it's going to get better, hopefully, when we get a couple of other players here, Mike. So that's going to happen with the NBA draft lottery coming up. But Atlanta Hawks coach Lloyd Pierce has joined the USA national team.
And that's cool. And Sam was just saying in my ear, and we were talking about this with some folks on social media today once the word came down, you know, you get to interact with players and say, hey, by the way, we got a really good thing happening here in Atlanta. Now, look, a player's going to go where they want to go, but you can be the bee in the bonnet, right, for some of these free agents you're going to interact with. It'll be part of the U.S. team. And say, have you seen our training facility? Because they invite players to come and hang out there in the offseason. So, look, anything that can help to advance the brand of the Hawks and get some dudes in here, that's not a bad thing either.
It is not, guys. Football fans, tune in this Thursday for 92.9 The Game's draft coverage brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. We will be down at Mercedes-Benz 2-7, and we'll get a chance to see many of you down there hanging out. But get the latest draft updates right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks to our draft sponsor, Northern Tool and Equipment. Take advantage of huge savings and go to northerntool.com. All right, we got Yeah Man, No Man coming up. Hopefully, it's good stuff today off of a big weekend, Mike. You know, last week, Yeah Man, No Man was kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Uneven.
Inconsistent? Now you're starting off on the wrong foot, because now Squidbilly's already got the puss. He's already got the look, and now he's going to come in here. He's going to be angry, so we'll see.
What's new?
It's always fraught with tension when the producers and engineers get on the air. We'll come back. Happy Earth Day, everybody.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
All right, guys, Falcon Report on the way, and we're going to look at a few things that are going on today. Over the next few days, Mike and I will continue to break down the draft. It's funny because we're both in here going, when we talk about this draft, because there's so much misdirection going on. But not only that, our Falcons, and you guys know this, have just completely surprised us in years past. But there are pressing needs, and there are guys that fit exactly what we want to do. So we'll talk more about it coming up at 5:20. Mike mentioned it. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network to help us break down some of the guys we've been talking about. With that, it's time for Yeah Man, No Man. Bo Morgan, what you got today?
All right, guys. So
start over.
Again, that's a crappy start right there. You got to jump right in. All right, guys, first topic. Boom. Let's go.
Let's do this again.
Here we go.
All right. Mike and I will have more coming up at 5 o'clock. Right now, it's time for Yeah Man, No Man. Bo Morgan, what you got?
Oh, is it my turn to speak now?
It is, Bo.
What's the damn question?
Will you please say again? We've wasted a minute, and you've not executed a question yet.
A minute? I've spoken for
wasted,
10
now
seconds.
Now we've wasted 2 minutes because you
two
came
minutes?
With no energy to start
wow.
this thing.
Wow, we didn't come back to four.
All right, let's go. Get out of it.
What's the damn question?
Let's go.
Can we get a question?
I don't know. You guys going to keep talking over me?
No, we just want you to come with some energy.
That was actually a question. He went to
you, and you went, hey, guys, and the thing well, with the, come on!
You know what, Mike? Not everyone can match your energy.
Come on!
We're not all the Energizer Bunny.
Come on!
So a woman in Vegas, a woman is going to a bachelorette party in Vegas.
Yes.
She's getting married. She has 18 people going. Mm-hmm. She sends an email with a list of rules. The first rule, and I'm reading literally what she wrote, no liquor. No hard liquor. I don't want to be tempted by these foul drinks. Please stick to light beers and red wines and no drugs, including people with Adderall prescriptions. Quote, we will not be studying. There's no need. Rule two, no sex.
I'm sorry?
No sex. And she says, as none of us have committed ourselves to husbands yet, there's no need to have premarital sex. Oh. Please don't invite random men back to the suite. I don't want to be robbed.
She sounds like a barrel of laughs, Carl. Be the worst bachelorette party ever.
Yeah, it probably is.
Rule three, send $50 for groceries, which would equal 900 groceries, because apparently 18 people was going, which is a big bachelorette party, by
the
way.
That is.
And number four, I've scheduled a church trip for Sunday morning. Quote, I think it'll be a nice way to cleanse us of our sins from that week.
What sins? You've basically eliminated any possibility for fun.
Boring.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what you'd have to atone for.
So my question based off this email is, yeah, man, no, man, going on a bachelor party with any set of rules laid out beforehand.
No, part of going to a bachelor party or a bachelorette party, ladies, is the uncertainty of what may happen and the stories that may unfold. Part of it is you're going because you don't want rules, okay?
And, again, and a bachelor party is never for the bachelor or a bachelorette for the bachelor. It's for the folks, for your friends to get crazy and go bananas. Worst party I ever had in Vegas was my bachelor party. 18 alpha males. My wife
too
had
many guys.
And you know, my wife had to have a spy, so she put my brother-in-law on the trip.
Oh,
Gus really wants to go. So then my friends were like, can we get freaky here? Because the brother-in-law is here. So it just derailed the whole thing, ruined the party.
Now, you're right, Mike. That's a bad look. No rules. No one likes rules at these days.
No rules. No laws. No limits. Is she a Sunday school teacher? What's her backstory?
I don't know. I'm really confused on why they decided to go to Vegas for their. If you're gonna do a bachelorette or a bachelor party like this, I don't know. Maybe go to Dolly World.
That sounds more like Charleston, South Carolina to me, Carl.
Did you just say Dolly World?
Yes, Dolly World. Dolly
well,
World.
That sounds more appropriate than Vegas, doesn't it?
Yes, we can commune with nature in Pigeon Forge. That bachelorette party should be going to Charleston.
No doubt. I mean, it's much more laid-back environment.
I mean, they seems like they wouldn't even be able to have fun in Nashville based on those rules. That's the bachelorette party capital right now.
Or even worse, maybe they should have done one of these stupid joint ones where you go with the future husband and all his friends. You ever done one of those?
No.
A joint bachelor bachelorette party?
No, that doesn't sound like fun either. I said no rules.
Yeah.
Part of it is, Brian just went on one of these in Phoenix. Was it Phoenix, Scottsdale, wherever you went? Mm-hmm. You guys got crazy, didn't you?
Brian says, that's right, Carl. We got nuts. Again, we can't have both these guys on the wrong side of the glass because then there's no one running the
ship. Oh, I forgot his mic doesn't work. He said it got out of hand.
All right. Anyway, there you go. So no quit. Second question.
So ABC is staging live remakes of All in the Family. Now they're going
to good luck with that.
Now they're going to do this, obviously, with Woody Harrelson and Marissa Tomei will play Archie and Edith Bunker.
Oh, what? Goodness.
They're going to have Jamie Foxx and Wanda Sykes as George and Wheezy Jefferson. And get this. They're going to have Will Ferrell, who will play their white neighbor, Tom Willis.
No way.
Wow.
I don't buy this.
It's just, I mean, I don't know.
This will air May 22nd. It'll be 90 minutes long. Jimmy Kimmel, will co-host it with Norman Lear, who created both the shows.
Right. Norman Lear created all those amazing shows in the 70s. But, Carl, will this fly? First off, you can't do any of the jokes from back in 1975.
Well, first of all, the jokes in 75 that were offensive are not offensive now. Seriously. The things that they said then.
Well, no. Some of those things on the All in the Family, you can't say any of that on television.
No,
today.
I'm not talking about some of the stuff that the content that was ahead of its time, right? It's all being done on cable, is my point.
Right.
I don't think there are any surprises unless you like the people that there's going to be cast. Why am I going to watch this? It's part of the reason why a lot of things are not hits on, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS. The material, all right, has already been done. And it's not as forward-thinking as some of the stuff that they're doing on cable. That's my thing. Mm. So I don't know. Yes, I get where you're going with some of the racial content.
Yes.
I get where you're going with that.
Well, wasn't everything that Archie Bunker said either about a socialist or racially charged?
Well, I don't think you can even refer to Meathead's Polish background the way that Archie did without offending someone these days.
And that's my point. So why would I watch it? That was part of the allure of the show.
Right. Well, maybe that's what they're going for as part of the allure will be how do they pull this off today? Mm. How do they do this?
I'm with Carl. The best comedy writing's is on cable other than there are shows like Modern Family that pull it off that are really funny.
Yes.
But for the most part, yeah, you're right.
But I think, like Modern Family, it's the whole makeup of the show. The idea of what the show's about is what's cool, and then you buy into the characters. Either way, I probably won't watch it, but I love all those characters. I mean, all those actors.
Yeah, I'm a huge Woody Harrelson fan. I just don't think he's Archie Bunker. I think they could have went somewhere else. I don't know where, but not Woody Harrelson. All right, so we got about 90 seconds left.
Archie! Where's Mr. Bunker? He's in the reading room. Hear the toilet flush. Anyway, go on, else you got, Squid? Go, go, go.
Well, thank you for letting me go. National Jelly Bean Day. Yeah, man, no man, jelly beans.
Yeah, they're great. Next question.
I like Mike and Ike's. Those are not jelly beans, though, right? I like Mike and Ike's.
I think they're on the same scale, but no.
No. So, yeah, I'm going to say no.
Today is National Girl Scout Leaders Day. So, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Ooh. I got to be honest. I know this drives people crazy. Not a fan of any of those flavors. Just make a simple chocolate chip cookie. I'll buy 20 boxes. Everything's got to be like the Samoan. It's not my wheelhouse.
I was about to
thin
say
thin mints. Not my flavors.
Yeah,
man.
The Samoans. That's the coconut ones, right? That's the ones that I really like. I think.
What are the ones with? I think they're tagalongs. Or they're chocolate chip with peanut butter inside. I think they're tagalongs.
All I know is anytime somebody asks, for the most part, you know how that goes. Would you get some cookies for my Yes, and you buy them.
Brian said, the tagalongs. Those are the ones chocolate
peanut
butter.
What if the guy in the office is a real jerk? You go, no, I'm not buying any for your kid.
I know, every time. will you get some cookies? Yes, I'll buy
some. If they sold Entenmann's chocolate chips and just put a Girl Scout sticker on it, I would buy them over the other flavor options.
The president that loved jelly beans, Mike Bell, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was W.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.